We're still celebrating a little more. We didn't get to see Allison's older brother and his wife and their family, and they got in last night. We were unable to see them, so we're all going to go back to Allison's family's house today and celebrate some more. What about this question? Are you glad it's over? You get a mixed response when you ask that question. Some of us we're so tired of all the preparations and all the hustle and bustle and getting everything ready and having it all ready, and then it finally came, and then we visited with our families and we had a blast, and now it's over, and some of us can finally take a breath, and so we say, yes, we're glad it's over. But then at the same time, the spirit of it, even though we feel like that, a lot of us still feel like, well, you know what? Oh, I just love that season, and oh, it's gone. That's it. It's over now. And so there can be the Christmas blues as well. But as we just celebrated, as we talked about Christmas Eve, celebrating Emmanuel, as we celebrated yesterday, God with us, that He came, that He put on flesh, and that He was born, and that He walked among us 33 years, and then went to the cross, and just the joy and the wonder of that, and marveling at that, and meditating on that, that joy and that wonder that you get from that experience can carry through for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2010, and then on into 2011. That marveling, that joy can carry through and needs to. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, the wise men followed the star and they followed it to the manger. And then God's guidance stopped right then. But then the interesting thing about it was God used a star to lead them to His star, the morning star, the bright morning star is Jesus Christ, as Revelation tells us. And then as He would grow up, God would use Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, He would lead. And people would follow Him. And if you followed Jesus, you were following God's guidance, because that's God right there. And now the Holy Spirit is with us, and we continue to follow God's guidance. And I wanted to share some words. I need Peyton to come up here and sing them. Because he sounds so much better than me, but I wanted to share these words with you, and if you know it, you sing it too. And I'm going to stop at a certain point, but you go ahead and sing it with me. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding. I wanted to stop right there. Still proceeding. That's the title of this message. Still proceeding. Yes, follow that star to the manger this Christmas, but then keep on following. Keep on following God's guidance. Keep on following Jesus the rest of the year, and then all through 2011. The joy and the wonder don't have to end right here. Carry them through. I wanted to share a passage of Scripture with you. When we look at that question, well, how do we do it? How do we keep the joy and the wonder of following Him? How do we keep that? Well, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And God gives us just some practical instruction. If we're going to follow Him for the rest of 2010, just a week more, and then on through 2011, what do we need to do to follow Him precisely, to follow that star of His guidance? Well, look at Ephesians 5. Verses 15 through 17. God tells us this in His Word. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, pay attention. Pay attention to how to live wisely, how to live like these wise men did wisely. To do that, to live wisely, look at God's first announcement to us, His first command to us. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And notice, He didn't just say, be careful how you live. That would be strong enough, coming from God to you. Be careful how you live. Live wise. That'd be strong. But God says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And so the first thing we need to do to keep the joy and the wonder of following Him the rest of 2010 and on in 2011 is we need to get serious. We need to get serious about living our life and how we live our life. And I'm gonna spell out STAR for you so, to try to help you remember. So the S is on STAR is serious. Get serious. If you want to follow Him and keep that joy and wonder, get serious about living. Be very careful how you live. You know, a great picture of this. We just had Christmas Eve. Weren't you very careful when those elements came by your seat? Isn't that a picture? If you want to see a picture of being careful, be very careful. I tell you what, it's an alarming thing when that deacon, when Billy walks up to you and hands you that tray with all those little cups of grape juice in it, and you grab that tray, and I don't know how you feel when you grab it, but I feel like something happens. Maybe I start shaking or something. Am I going to spill the whole thing? Throw it over my shoulder? I've got to be very careful. And I know you have that feeling too. When the elements come, you receive it very gently, very carefully. You take your cup, you have such care, and then you pass it on very carefully to that next person, don't you? That's a picture of how God wants you to live every day, every moment. Not to just carelessly let the moments go by, let some time pass here. Oh, it's just an hour, just a few hours, just kind of let those go and, you know. No, we're supposed to be living every moment like that tray, being very careful how we live. Well, are you doing it? How are you doing it? Are you living your life very carefully, as wise, not as unwise? Or are you guilty, like me, sometimes of carelessly living some days or even some hours in a day just kind of letting them go by. Now, I'm not saying don't rest. Don't hear that. I'm saying be in the center of God's will. Sometimes God's will is to rest and do nothing and sit there in front of the TV or whatever. Sometimes that's God's will. But what I'm saying is be careful. Do you know that it's God's will to be sitting there and resting and doing nothing? If it is, you're in good shape. But if you haven't given it any thought and you're just kind of carelessly living the hours, You're not handling it like that tray. So we need to be very careful how we live. So get serious. Get serious. To keep the joy and the wonder of following Him, get serious. Secondly, we need to get time is the T. We need to get time. In other words, buy it up. Get it. Receive it. Redeem it. We need to get time. Notice that He says, make the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Some translations say redeeming the time. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Or making the most of every opportunity. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to redeem the time? Well, if you think about it, to redeem something is to pay a high price to set something free. That's what it means. Pay a high price and set something free. Well, He says, redeem the time. So you pay a high price for the time and you set it free. And you say, what? What are you talking about? Well, in the next verse, we'll see. I'm not going there yet, but we'll see that the time is given to evil. That when we naturally let hours go by, evil is in control. That the time naturally goes to not God's will in its natural form. And so we've got to buy up the time. We've got to pay the high price of whatever that is for you, maybe praying and just seeking God's will, and you pay the high price of some praying and planning. Maybe you get up early that morning and you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I don't want to mess up this day. I don't want to just venture out in this day and just do my own thing and come to the end and say, Lord, I wonder if I did your will today. No, Lord, I want to buy up the time. Right now, I'm going to pay a high price of sitting here with you, waking up early, sitting here with you, listening to you. And we know it's not a high price, because once you start doing it, there's nothing like being with the Lord in His presence. But I'm going to sit before you and I'm going to let you give me the day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you what you have for me today. And I don't know what kind of person you are. I'm a planner. So, you know, I want to get my little planner and say, okay, you know, what is it? Give me the plan, Lord, you know. But anyway, the point is, you seek Him. You seek Him and you seek His will. You're paying the high price to set the time free from in its natural way to it being used for evil and going to evil. You've actually taken the time to pay the high price. You took the time and now you stole it away from the evil. You set it free and now you can take it because you've got it and you can use it for God's will. You can use it for His purposes. And so you're redeeming the time. And then once you do that, you pay that price of planning and praying and seeking God's will. Well, then what are we to do? The same thing in another translation says, make the most of every opportunity. Well, what's that mean? Well, I don't know why, but I think about making a cake. How do you make a cake? Well, you're very careful. You get the recipe. You line up. You put all the ingredients. You get them all right there, the right amounts, and you spend time and energy and effort, and you make that cake. You put it all together, and you follow the instructions to the T. And you well, some of y'all are great cooks. Some of you ladies, you just do it, and it comes out great. But I got to follow those instructions to the T. I put it in the oven and do all these things, and I'm making a cake. There's a lot of time and energy and effort in it in there. Well, make the most. What are you making the most of every opportunity? What are the opportunities? That's every moment of the day. Whatever you're doing right now, what are you doing? You're in a worship service. You're sitting in a seat. You're listening to a message. You're hearing God's word. That's an opportunity. Life is just a continuation of opportunities all day long. It's just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. All day, it's just a stream of opportunities is what a day is, basically. Well, right now, you're sitting here in a service, and you have an opportunity to what? To worship God in spirit and in truth, to listen for His voice, to hear His word to you, to hear what He's saying, to seek Him out, to worship Him, to receive what He has for you. And to be changed, and then to go and to do whatever He's calling you to. And, well, you've got that opportunity right now. What does He say? Just like you make a cake, make the most of every opportunity. So, right now, make the most of sitting here in this service. Are you doing that? Right now, are you making the most of it? Just like you'd put that time and energy and care into making a cake, are you making the most of this opportunity? Doing everything you can to get all that God has in it for you? Out of it. You're putting all you can into it. Make the most of every opportunity. So get time is our second point here. How do we keep the joy and wonder of following Him in the rest of 2010 and on in 2011? Well, you get serious and then you get time. And then our A is you need to get alarmed. Get alarmed. What does that mean? Get alarmed. Well, it says here that the days are evil. Uh-oh. Why does God want you to make the most of every opportunity and live wisely and not unwise? Why? Because the days are evil. It's what I was just talking about before. I told you I'd go here. Because the time is given to evil, the natural way that things go around this world. The prince of the ruler there, the prince of this world is who? Satan himself. The natural way of the world is evil. If we just let the time go, it'll be used for evil. You have to buy it up. You have to take it to use it for God, for His kingdom. And so it says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Well, you know, we see this in our world in many different ways. You don't have to teach a child to be bad, do you? But you have to teach them to be good, don't you? There we see it. The world is given to evil. You've heard it said before, and I've mentioned this. I think I mentioned it the other way last time, but you've heard it said before, idle hands are the devil's workshop. There's some truth in that. If you just do nothing, if you don't seek God's will out and you just kind of let the hours pass and you're idle, it's the devil's workshop. It'll be used for evil if you don't take it and be very careful with it that time. We know that God tells us in Proverbs, without vision, the people what? Perish. Die. There's death. Without vision. What is vision? That's knowing God's will. That's vision. Knowing what is God's will in the future. What do I believe His will to be? What I've been seeking Him out, and He has this will. That's God's vision. His will, His revelation for the future. What does He want me doing? Where does He want us going? What does He want us doing as Highland Avenue Baptist Church? Next, what's the next thing for us? What's His vision? Well, in your personal life, and each day you wake up in the morning, what's your vision for me today, God? What do you have for me? What's your vision? Well, without vision, the people perish. If you don't have it, if you're not seeking God's will, if you don't know His will and you don't have His will, it leads to death. It's given to evil. The time is given to evil. And so you need to get alarmed. You need to get alarmed. Do you realize, you personally, do you realize that if you don't take the time and buy it up and be very careful with it and make the most of every opportunity, that it will be used for evil? The world, the flesh, and the devil, those are your three big enemies as a believer. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you don't take the time, from the clock and the calendar and the influences of the world, the flesh, and the devil, it will be used for those things. So get alarmed is the next point. So not only do we need to get serious and get time and get alarmed, but finally, the R stands for right. Get right. Get right. What is it to be right? That's to know God's will and do it. You are right when you know God's will and you do it. That's right. His righteousness. Righteousness is knowing and doing God's will. Well, finally, we need to get right. Notice that after he told us that the days are evil, right after that, he says, therefore, whenever there's a therefore, always find out what the therefore is there for. That's a good lesson of hermeneutics. Find out what the therefore is there for. Well, therefore, there's always something before a therefore. So what did he just tell us? He just told us, because the days are evil. So make the most of every opportunity. Buy up the time. Redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And therefore, because the days are evil, in other words, therefore, do not be foolish. There's the command. There's the action. Don't be foolish. But here's what to do. But understand what the Lord's will is. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And so if we're going to understand what the Lord's will is, God is also telling us here that the opposite is to be foolish. So to not understand what the Lord's will is, to not know what God's will is at any time, at any moment in your life is foolish. If you don't know it, it's okay not to know it, but find it out. It's what he's saying. Many times we don't know God's will, but then we're being foolish if we just stay like that. We've got to find it out. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to find out. We need to get right. Understand what His will is. And I've talked about, how do we do that? We seek Him out. We talk to Him. We spend time with Him. Understand what His will is. In John chapter 8, we mentioned this in our Christmas Eve service, and all the little white lights represent this that you see everywhere. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the bright morning star. He's the light of the world. What is the light of our world? It's the sun, right? Scientists tell us that the sun is a star, right? So the sun is a star. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And in Revelation 22:16, Jesus is called the bright morning star. So He's like the sun. Hebrews 12:2, we're told to fix our eyes on Him. So keep the sun in your eyes. The S-O-N. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, this bright morning star. So just like the wise men followed that star, follow Jesus Christ right now. Keep your eyes fixed on Him, your bright morning star. Just like the wise men, follow Him in the rest of 2010 and then all through 2011. And how do you do that? By getting serious, getting time, getting alarmed, getting right. Follow Him. And notice Jesus said, "Whoever follows me." Whoever. Whoever. That's you. That's everybody. That's the down and out. That's those who feel like they've sinned beyond repair. "Oh, God just won't forgive me. I try to follow Him, but I just can't because I'm such a sinner," or whatever. "I've done this and I've confessed it, but I keep on thinking about it and feeling the guilt." Jesus said, "Whoever," that's you, no matter how guilty you feel, "whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have this light of life." His grace covers over all sin. And by our faith in Jesus, we're forgiven of it all. And as we do it, as we confess it and agree with Him about it, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Let us fix our eyes on Him, Jesus Christ, who is still proceeding. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You. It is so practical, so wonderful, so awesome. It is living and active. Lord, when we open Your Word, You speak. It's not a book, Lord. It's more like a phone. You speak to us through it. And Lord, You've spoken to us through it this morning. Lord, You have told us different things. You've told us how to follow You, this bright morning star, for the rest of this year and all on into 2011. You've told us how. You've given us some practical ways, Lord. May we heed these ways. Lord, would You help each of us, Lord, to be very careful how we live, to get serious about living every moment, Lord, and to buy up that time, to spend that time with You, Lord, seeking out Your will, receiving Your will, Your plan, Your agenda, not ours, Lord, in every moment. Lord, let us know, get alarmed, Lord, that the days are evil. And if we don't do this, the world, the flesh, and the devil will take over that time, Lord. That the clock, the calendar, they'll steal the time, Lord. That we've got to take it and use it for You, for Your glory. And let us be right, Lord. Let us get right and know Your will at every moment. And when we don't, to seek it out till we know Your will. And then do it, Lord. Help us. Help us to follow You. Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs You, they need to know You as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, that they've been holding back, Lord. And Lord, if they're trying to follow You and the star of Your guidance, Lord, speak it to their heart, Lord, that the only thing You're telling them is just come to Me for salvation. Lord, help them right now to just come to you. Lord, during this invitation, just to call out to you. Help them right now to call out to you and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Thanks for taking my punishment and being raised from the dead. And Lord, right now I ask you to come into my life. Come into my heart. Save me from my sins. Have mercy on me. I want to follow you, Lord. And I know this is the first step, is to have you, to know you. Come into my life and help me to follow you, the bright morning star, all the days of my life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that decision just now, please walk down the aisle. Let us know. Every time Jesus called somebody, it was publicly. He said, come, follow me. And if you were going to, you just walked out. You just went with him. You followed him. Everybody knew it. Well, if you made that decision in your heart this morning, you just called out to him. Don't do it privately. Come on. Come follow him. Come down this aisle. If you've realized today that this is your church, that God's been leading you, he's been calling you to come here, to join here, to plug in, that this is the body of believers he wants you connected with, stop attending and join. He's calling you. You come. You come down the aisle and make that decision. And Chris is going to lead us in our invitation.